We'll be taking our reading from Luke 24 this morning. So thankful for everything that's already taken place in our service and for the Spirit of God meeting here with us this morning. You know, even as Hannah and Tracy were singing that song, just the mental picture and the visualization I can get in my mind of the old rugged cross. And I am thankful for the victory that was won and the life that was laid down on the cross there at Calvary in order for me to be able to be saved from my sins. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm so thankful, and I'm going to freeze to death before I can even get this out, the chill bumps running up down my arms. I'm glad that the cross was not the end of the story. I'm glad that as Jesus gave up his life there on the cross, what love there was for you and I, as he was willing to let them do all of the horrific things that they did to him, as he gave his life on the cross, what love was given you and I there on the cross that day by Jesus shedding his blood. But church, I'm thankful that we're here to celebrate this morning. And the reason that we're here to celebrate is that the cross is not the end of the story. The cross is not the end of the tale. The cross is not the end of our Bible. And this morning, I'm going to get way ahead of myself if I don't get into my scripture. So excited to be in the house of the Lord to celebrate with you this morning. Now, church, we begin with celebration this morning, and I hope in our hearts that we're still celebrating. Feel free in God's house this morning. Worship him, adore him, honor him. Hey, this has been what people call the Holy Week, and this week I've had my mind on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and Easter coming upon us, but I want us to take this opportunity this morning, and don't miss an opportunity to give God glory with your life, to be able to worship him and to praise him for the love that he's had for us. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 24. I ask you to pray for me as we get into the message this morning. I want to be exactly where God wants us to be. I want you to get the message that God has given me. I know I'm going to stutter and stammer and probably say things that you can make fun of after a while, and that'll be fine. But the main thing is don't listen to me, but listen for God's still small voice to speak to your heart this morning. And if you'll react to that, everything will be just fine when we leave here in a little while. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me. And pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day. And God, I want to thank you for this time of celebration that you've given us here today. And God, I want to apologize for myself. I know out here in this world, there's a lot of things that I celebrate. There's a lot of things that I just get completely excited about. And then sometimes, God, when I come into your house, I fail to honor you and to worship you and to celebrate you the way that I should. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll allow your spirit to fall on this place this morning. God, I pray that you will excite our hearts, God. I pray that you'll put it into our mind and our hearts and our souls this morning, the love that you had for us there on the cross. And God, knowing that that's not the end of the story this morning, God, help us to worship you because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into the scripture this morning, that you'll allow me to preach the message that you've given me, God. I know that I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinful man, God. I fight my flesh just like everybody here. But God, I want to thank you and praise you that I have an advocate with the Father, that I can get forgiveness of my sins. And God, I pray that you'll just use me for just a short time this morning, and may you be uplifted and may you be glorified. Most of all, I pray for someone here today that don't know you as their personal Savior. God, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. I pray that they'll feel that drawing power, and before they leave here today, that they'll become one of yours. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Luke chapter number 24. You know, just on a side note real quick, I noticed as I was trying to pull this pulpit from over there to over here, maybe I need to hit the weight room with Silas because I was struggling with it this morning. But Luke chapter 24, let's begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others were with them." As we start reading here in Luke chapter number 24, in order for us to get a mental picture and a visual picture in our minds and our hearts this morning of what's going on, the Bible says, "Now very early in the morning they went to the sepulchre," or they went to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And in order for us to get into our mind what's going on, I want to take us back a couple of days. I want us to go back a couple of days to where these people who are coming into the tomb of Jesus, they witnessed a horrific sight. They seen something that they probably wish they had never seen. They probably wished, even as we look back at the cross this morning, as we're sitting here in God's house and we look back at the cross and we try to visualize what Christ went through for us there on that cross, we can't even begin to comprehend what these people actually witnessed with their eyes here on that day that Jesus was on the cross. And as we look back at the cross and we know how that Jesus knew the pain and the suffering that was going to come to him, we know that Jesus, as he went there there to the garden, he prayed and asked his heavenly Father. He said, if there be any way that this cup could pass from me, I pray that you let it pass. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to endure this pain. I don't want to take the sin of the world. But I'm glad that the very next statement that Jesus made, he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Because he knew he was here for a mission. He knew that he was here to provide redemption of our souls through his blood on the cross. And as Jesus accepted that, as he was there praying in the garden, we know how that one of his disciples, how that Judas Iscariot had betrayed him, and that he brought people there to arrest Jesus in the garden, and that how his disciples at once, they tried to defend him, but even Jesus, he called them off and he said, this is the way that it's got to be. These people had seen Jesus go and pray there in the garden. They had seen him be arrested. They had seen him be accused of things that he didn't do. They seen a crowd reject him. They seen a crowd say that we had rather have a killer of Barabbas released than to have Jesus released. They seen all of these things happen. They seen Pilate say, okay, if this is what you want, I will release Barabbas unto you and we will crucify Jesus. How that then they took Jesus and they beat him with a cat of nine tails. How they spit upon him. How they plucked his beard out. How they done all of these terrible things to him. And then how they took Jesus and they put him on a cross. Yeah, I want you to know this morning that those Roman soldiers, they were trained killers. These men that had took these cat of nine tails that they whipped him with, and this cat of nine tails was a whip that had pieces of bone and flesh, pieces of bone and glass and stone at the end of it so they could rip the flesh of Jesus apart, and how they took Jesus and they done all these terrible things. But I want you to know that these men may have been trained killers. They may have been very fit men. They may have been men that were strong and probably could manhandle any of us in here. But I want you to know that as Jesus went to that cross, it had nothing to do with their skill. It had nothing to do with their strength, but it had everything in the world to do with the love that Jesus Christ had for us. They didn't take his life, but he freely laid his life down for us. And as these people are watching this, they've seen him be arrested, accused, rejected, beaten, crucified. And as Jesus is there on the cross and he goes through this painful suffering that he went through, but yet while he was there on that cross, you know, there's an old song that used to be sung a lot around, that while Jesus was on the cross, that you were on his mind. I'm glad that Jesus knew that I needed that salvation, that he knew that he would give his life just for me. But even while he was there on that cross, as he was being tortured by these men, that he even still had compassion on the men who were doing this to him. The Bible speaks that he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now we have Jesus hanging there on the cross that had legions of angels at his access, that at any time he could have said, that's it, I'm done. I'm not going through this torture anymore. These people are being so mean to me. These people are torturing me after all of the good things that I've done. He could have any time, he could have stopped it and called those legions of angels to rescue him there off of that cross. But I'm glad that Jesus looked further beyond and that he saw my need and that he saw your need and that he was willing to stay there on that cross. But yet he even looked at the men that were doing this to him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But not only the physical pain that Jesus went through, the rejection that he had, the people crying out for Barabbas instead of wanting to release Jesus. Can you imagine the pain that he went through as your sin and my sin was put on him? As your sin and my sin was laid there on our Savior, the sins of the whole world was laid there on Jesus Christ. And even as they're laid there and he's bearing my sin and your sin and the sin of the world on the cross, the Bible tells us that his Father looked at him and he couldn't stand the sight of all of that sin. He didn't look away from him because he was being beaten. He didn't look away from him because of the blood. He didn't look away from him because of the horrific things that was going on. But he looked away from him because of my sin that was put on Jesus. And as Jesus looks, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we like to look at everybody else's sin. We like to look sometimes and say, well, I may have this going on in my life, but at least I'm not doing that. I may have this going on, and I may be not be doing what God wants me to do in my life, but at least I'm not in drugs. At least I'm not in alcohol. At least I'm not just wrapped up in all this sin that the world's got going on. But I want to tell you something, that my little bitty sin that we like to call little bitty, that was the sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Because that was the sin that was going to keep me from being able to go to heaven. And as he looks and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Luke chapter number 23, Verse number 46, the Bible says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's given up his life. They didn't take his life. He freely gave it. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The reason that verse number 1 in chapter number 24 has to happen is because Jesus was willing to give his life on the cross. These ladies are going out to the tomb very early in the morning. They're going out to the sepulcher because of what happened a couple of days ago. Because when Jesus gave up his life, and then the Bible tells us that Joseph went and begged the body of Jesus, and that he took it and he laid it in the sepulcher. Then in verse number 20 of chapter number 24, verse number 1, we see what's going on here. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now the Bible doesn't give us a great big detail of what's going through the minds of the people that's going to the sepulcher this morning. We don't know exactly what all they were thinking. We don't have a lot of conversation from them. But can I give you an imagination of something else that's going on at this point in time? As Jesus is there on the cross, and he cries and he says, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost. See, there's another side of this story that sometimes we forget of what put all this into motion. See, way back in time, there was an angel, Lucifer, who thought that he would overrule God and that he wanted people and he wanted the angels in heaven to worship him instead of worshiping God. And this caused Lucifer to be thrown out of heaven. He then wanted to start his own followers. He then wanted to have control. He wanted to be the one that everybody worshiped. He wanted all of the glory. And then we have a battle going on. So as Lucifer as cast out of heaven, I believe that maybe some of his last words, this is my imagination, is don't worry, I'm going to get what's mine. People will follow me. I will be worshipped. We now know Lucifer as Satan. And I believe that as Jesus is there on the cross, and as he says, it is finished, I give up the ghost, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I believe as that happens, and maybe some people here on this earth, if you go back and read the account, even one of the Roman soldiers, as this happens, even one of the Roman soldiers says, truly this was the Son of God. But I believe while maybe there was some pain here on this earth, I believe that in the presence of Satan, in the presence of his demonic forces, and yes, I believe in all of that, I believe that Satan has very tremendous power, and I believe that in his presence that day for the angels that had fallen with him, that decided to follow him, I believe for the demonic forces that was there in Satan, I believe that there was a celebration that happened that day. I believe that he said, you know what, Jesus may have came to overthrow me. But look, he's hanging dead on a cross. He's there. We've killed him. We have done what we said we would do. We have overthrown the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now I'm it. I'm the man. Give it to me. And I believe that there was a party that started there in the presence of Satan that day. I believe that there was a celebration that, yeah, maybe some people were in pain here on this earth, but there in the presence of Satan, I believe that he saw this as a success, that he had killed God in the flesh, he had stopped the deliverer, and I believe that there was a party happening in Satan's presence. Coming back from Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 46. So as we began to read in verse number 1 of chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, as they come to the sepulcher that morning, again, we're not given a whole lot of description of what was going through their mind, but can I tell you what in my mind I imagine? I believe that they were burdened. I believe that they were broken. Can you imagine after what they saw Jesus go through there on the cross? After they seen the pain, the torture that he went through, can you imagine how they're feeling on the inside? I believe they were burdened. I believe they were sad and afraid. I believe that they were crushed, that they were confused. I believe that some of these people even believed that this was the Son of God. And how could this happen to the Son of God? I believe that they, as they went to the sepulcher this morning, that they just wanted to go put some spices on his body. They didn't have embalming then, so they would go out and they'd put spices on the body to try to preserve the body for a little while. Maybe as they were going out to the sepulcher this morning, that they went to put the spices on the body to have time to mourn, to have time to let their hearts break, to have time to let the tears flow. I believe as they went out that they wanted to have time to maybe sit together there at the sepulcher and talk about all the wonderful things that they had saw him do. Imagine this. At some point in time, we've all lost loved ones in our life. And when everything first happens, there's a shock that comes to us, and everything doesn't seem real. And as time goes on and as the funeral services happen, as you go to the graveyard, everything kind of starts to set in and become real. And I believe as these ladies were going out to the sepulcher this morning, that things become real. That they could sit and talk about the wonderful things that they had seen Jesus do. Maybe they just wanted to go spend some time with his body, just to go and mourn and be there with Jesus. And then as we see in verse number 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. But when they got there, they didn't find his body. I believe in their minds maybe they would have been saying, what have these terrible men that killed Jesus, what have they done to his body? We just wanted to come out and put some spice on it. We wanted to come out and mourn and spend some time and talk about all the wonderful things that he had done and just have our time with Jesus' body. But as they get there and they see the stone was rolled away and they can't find the body, I believe, look in verse number 4, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed, as they were questioning. That's the reason I believe that they were confused. What have they done to Jesus' body? A couple of days ago when they killed him on the cross, was that not enough? When they spit on him, when they ripped his beard out, when they pierced his side, when he gave every drop of blood that he had, and they took his life, was that not enough that they had to come and steal his body out of the tomb? Was that not enough? Maybe these were the thoughts that were going through these ladies' minds as they get to the sepulcher that day. But let's continue reading. Verse number 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, I believe as they're standing here and they're kind of afraid, they're already afraid not knowing what the Roman soldiers have done, not knowing what's going to be done to them for coming to check on Jesus, being confused that he's not there, still maybe scared of what happened a couple of days ago, and all of a sudden as they get to the tomb and Jesus is not there, and the Bible says, and there was two men standing by them in shining garments. Maybe they were afraid. Look at verse number 5. And as they were afraid, as that fear set in and they was wondering what's going on, look at verse number 5. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? This morning, church, I'm glad that the cross was not the end of the story. I'm glad that the tomb was not the end of the story. But a couple of days later, that there were some ladies that maybe went out to go spend some time with Jesus, that went to mourn the body of Jesus, that wanted to go out there and talk about the good times. But I want to tell you something, as they got out there, the good times had just started. I'm glad that they found the tomb empty, that they got out there maybe as they were afraid and confused, not knowing what was going on, that God had sent messengers saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? I believe that there was a celebration that was happening in heaven because Jesus Christ our Lord was not defeated by death. He was not defeated by my sin. He was not defeated by Satan, but he had got up out of the grave and he's living this morning. Amen. I'm glad that we're serving a risen Savior. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you here looking for Jesus? I don't know what you came here looking for this morning. Those ladies went looking for a dead body. They went looking for a dead Jesus. And they got out there and they found the tomb was empty. What have you come here looking for this morning? Have you come here looking for an opportunity to just say, well, we went to church on Easter? That, well, we've went and we've done the things that we're supposed to do on Easter. We put our Easter dresses on and we dressed up and we took pictures and we've hid eggs and we've done all these. I want to tell you something. There's way more to Easter than all those things. Those things are wonderful. I'm looking forward to the cookouts that we're having here in a little while. If you ever see a Baptist preacher turn away food, he's probably got sin in his life. He needs to go repent. But I'm looking forward to all the cookouts we're going to have here in a little while. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad that even looking forward, that I look back and I see an empty tomb. And I know that my Savior lives. That my Redeemer lives. I'm not serving a God who's dead in a tomb this morning. I'm not serving some kind of jar of ashes somewhere or another sitting in my house. I don't have some kind of idol setting up that I'm praying to. But I'm serving the Son of the living God, and that He's alive and He's well this morning, that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, just waiting for the Father to say, go get our children, and we're all going to be resurrected and there in His presence together. I'm glad that my Redeemer lives this morning. If you've come here this morning just searching for somebody to preach you a little Easter message, for somebody to say everything's wonderful and the grass is green and the sun's shining, and all that may be true, but I want to tell you something even more true than that, that Jesus Christ gave His life for you, that He gave His life on the cross just for you, that you may have forgiveness of your sin, that you can have fellowship with Him. And I want to tell you that this morning, that He wants to include you on that resurrection morning. He wants you to be included in that number. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? I believe there was a celebration that happened in heaven this morning. But let's go back one moment. You remember that party that I told you about going on in the presence of Satan? You remember that great celebration that they were having? I want to tell you something. If you will, go ahead and put Revelation chapter 1 and 18 up. I want to tell you something. I believe that while that party was going on, they was having a big time and they were celebrating. We killed Jesus. The one that was sent to deliver, we killed Him. He's dead. And man, they was in there, and I picture this as a bunch of teenagers carrying on. I believe the music was a cranked up, man. We getting it on. Don't tell how cool I was, right? Because I don't. Yeah, woo! Yeah, I believe that there was something going on in the presence of Satan. Satan knew he had victory. And all of a sudden, knock. Knock at the door. And I almost, metaphorically, I see this in my head. This is what I see happening. Satan is there and he's like, well, wait a minute. We done partying for a couple of days. Who's showing up late? Somebody go see who's at the door. Somebody go see who just knocked at the door. They should have been here a couple of days ago. Man, we've been kicking it. We're having an awesome time. As they go and they open the door, the demon comes back in just a minute. He says, hey, boss, got something to tell you. Well, who was it? Who was at the door? Boss, you ain't going to believe it. What do you mean? Who was it? Anybody that wants to come to this party is welcome. Who was it? And as the demon comes back, he says, boss, you ain't going to believe it, but it's Jesus. I know we thought that we killed Him. I know that we thought that He died there on that cross. I know that we thought that, but it's Jesus at the door. And I want to tell you something, boss. He's asking for the keys. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 18. I believe that maybe this is all imagination of mine, but I believe it's maybe this celebration was happening in hell because they thought they had killed Jesus. That this could have been the very words that Jesus might have told whoever answered the door that day. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I'm glad this morning that God, He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Because of Him, I won't suffer for my sins through death. Because of Him, I won't suffer for my sin through hell. But because of Him, I have eternal life this morning. And it was so easy because I went and I said, God, I believe that You love me so much that You gave Your Son to die for me, that He gave His life on a cross, and I accept what He did. Hey, and I didn't say it in all these words. I'm extending this out. I accept what He did, and I want You to forgive me of my sins and be Lord of my life. And just like that, I escaped damnation from hell. I believe that there was a quick end to that party that was happening in hell. But church, I want to tell you about one more, and I'll be done. You know, as Jesus spent a little time here with His disciples after He was resurrected, He spent some time here, hey, showing Himself. Hey, there is, people want to talk about, well, I don't know if I believe that Jesus rose from the grave or not. I don't know whether I believe that. Hey, there is so much evidence recorded in God's Word that it would stand in any court of law in this nation. Any liberal court of law in this nation, it would stand if the evidence was given. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is alive. And after he spent some time here with the disciples and showing himself to his disciples, we know that he ascended back into heaven. Now, can you imagine that celebration? As Jesus come back into heaven, as Jesus had left heaven and come to this earth to be a sacrifice for a mission, and as he comes back into heaven, and there stands all of the angels, maybe that even was watching as he died there on the cross. Those legions of angels, maybe that was standing there waiting for him to call on them. And they watched Jesus die. As his heavenly Father is sitting there, knowing that he had to turn his back on him. But as Jesus comes back into heaven, bearing the marks of the cross, and as he walks there to his heavenly Father, can you just imagine when the heavenly Father stood up, looked his son in the eye, and said, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Everything that I set out for you to do, you succeeded in it all. You was born as a babe in a manger. Hannah, if you will, come on, get us a song of invitation. You was born there in the manger. You lived a perfect, sinless life here on this earth. You went to that cross and you endured the pain. You endured the marks of the cross. You allowed the sin of the whole world to be put there on you. You gave up your life for the love that you had. They put you in a tomb, and on that third day, you rose again. Mission accomplished. You know, at some point in time in my life, I would love to think that I'm where I'm supposed to be with God enough that he looks at me and says, mission accomplished. You done what I called you to do. You've done everything I ask you to do. If you're here and you're lost this morning, let me talk to you for just a minute. Look, everybody that is in here that has been saved, if you're here this morning and you're saved, say amen. All of those voices that you just heard say amen. All of those voices were in the same place that you are at some point in time. You're not, if you're here and you're lost, you're not a lower grade. You're not in a place that people should be looking at you differently. You're not a place that we should be looking down our nose at you, because we've all been there at some point in time. Corey, you was lost at some point in time in your life. You sitting there this morning with your suit and your tie on, looking all preacher-like. I know he just shook his head, but I ain't going to look at him. Sitting there looking all pretty and sanctified, and that's good. But at some point in time, you were lost and on your way to hell. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, we've all been where you are. I've been where you are. The only difference is that one day when Jesus spoke to my heart and called my name, I responded. In order for you to have the same promises that I have, in order for you to have the same forgiveness that I have, the only thing you have to do is to respond when Jesus calls you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Hazel, if you will, play something. This morning, I don't know. I don't know anybody's heart. Hey, and y'all don't know mine. Only me and God know my heart. Only you and God know yours. But would you be willing to look at your life this morning and say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I don't know that I've ever accepted what he did for me on the cross. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do it today. But preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I don't want to look over the love that he had for me. At some point in time in my life, I do want to respond. I do want to become a Christian. I won't call your name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I won't come to you. I just want to be able to pray for you that God will give you the courage at some point in time to accept him. Would you just lift up your hand and say, preacher, I'm lost. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Would you just say, be willing to say, preacher, I'm lost. I've never been saved. I don't know that I'll do it today, but preacher, would you pray for me? Is there anyone here? Say, preacher, I'm lost. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I know without a doubt that I've been saved. Preacher, I can tell you, I can go and tell you the story of the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm not walking with him right now. I've took what he did for me there on the cross for granted. I've took the victory that I've got through him rising from the dead for granted, and I'm not living for him right now. Preacher, would you just pray for me? That's all I'll do. I'll just pray. Preacher, I don't want my relationship with God to stay where it's at. I want to get back where I need to be with God. Would you just pray for me? Just slip up your hand. Hands all over the church. There's hands all over the church. Amen. I'll be praying for you. Put them right back down. Here in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. They're going to sing "Just As I Am." You know, I'm thankful for one thing, that God will take you just like you are. God will take you in your sin. God will take you however you are this morning, and he will change your life. But can I also tell you this, that there's another side to this song? That if something happens to you before you get things right with God, that you will stand before God just like you are. That you will be in a place, that you'll be standing before God, and if your name's not written in the book, that you'll be guilty of your sin. Are you ready to stand before God just like you are? As you stand to your feet, as she sings, if God's speaking to your heart, would you respond? Would you come to know Jesus Christ? Would you get things right in your life with Jesus? Hey, if you raised your hand, God's speaking to you. If you were willing to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me," then God's speaking to you. Don't put that aside. Come and talk things over with him. If you need to come and get things right with your relationship with God, come get them right. If you need to come and be saved this morning, come right now. There's no time like today.